Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your Carolina Panthers.
Hey, yeah, relax. Yeah, take a deep breath. Oh yeah, I'm hot. If you really upset, bomb on me so I can go inside. Okay. You got me?
Yeah.
Like, loosen a tooth.
Yeah.
Okay?
No.
I won't press no charges. You can even play the whole season. No game suspension, none of that. All right?
Yeah.
I may even give you some money. All right? I don't want to make you laugh. Okay?
Cat scratch fever.
Another year, baby.
Cat scratch fever.
I can't quit now. I keep my focus, man. I keep my focus. We're going to find out how far we can push ourselves.
Good evening, Panther fans. Welcome to another episode of Cat Scratch Radio. I'm Jackson, here to talk Carolina Panthers, and we have a full load of topics tonight. We are on the cusp of the season. One last completely meaningless preseason game to go, which will be mostly comprised of backups, playing backups. But probably way more interesting is roster cuts today. Maybe you've been doing your fantasy drafts. I know I am. This is my fantasy draft week right here. Just finished my third one. We got a big trade. Gettleman makes the first trade of his tenure. Kevin Norwood from Seattle, which, you know, when... The biggest surprise of this first round of cuts for me was definitely Jared Boykin. So I'll go ahead and break the seal on that one, Sports Watcher, because the Robert Lester I actually predicted, the Melvin White, you could see that one coming. You know, the rest were all camp meat to begin with. So, you know, no other real surprise to me getting it down to 75, so we'll certainly be talking about the next round of cuts sure to come. I got a full slate of callers this week. How about that? Let's see if we got some I recognize. I think I got some new people out there as well. Let's see. Looks like we're going to start with Josh. Josh, you on the line? What's up, man?
Yeah, man. Not much, just hanging out. How's it going?
Pretty good. Didn't know if you wanted to just listen or talk, but what'd you think of the cuts? Oh, we even got the Patriots game to talk about. I didn't even list that.
You did help start off pretty good with the Boykin. That kind of surprised me more than anything. I thought for sure that they would at least give him a shot to run with the ones. See how he did, but the way Philly Brown's playing, I don't know. Maybe they're seeing something and I'm not. I just know.
I mean, you make a good point. He certainly hadn't been playing worse than Philly Brown, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, he actually looked like he'd played pretty well. So apparently, I mean, it really does look like, hey, they got Kevin Norwood, and they thought, well, is Norwood an upgrade to Boykin? And they must have thought yes.
You know, Boykin kind of had a little fire during the preseason. I don't know if you caught on to that, too, but he did look like he played with a little bit more spunk. And I just say, is that surprising more than anything that they cut him today?
You thought that he did play with more spunk?
Yeah. So, I don't know.
It didn't seem like his hands. You know, they seemed to emphasize when they were talking about Norwood that he had really good hands and that he's good at contesting for the ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that's just something that they value in their wide receivers over other traits such as speed, ability to separate maybe, things that maybe others would have looked at Norwood. Again, how in the hell he flushed out of Seattle when I look at who they have catching the ball, I just don't get it,
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Doug Baldwin's pretty good, but, the rest of the whole crew there hasn't shown me anything. So.
But, Boykin, I thought he played pretty damn well during the preseason. I mean, running with the third stringers, I thought he did pretty good. And it just surprised me that they didn't, give him a little bit more opportunities.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. They're just don't know what it was. So, we'll probably hear in a couple of days. Bill Voth or somebody like that will get a little inside comment.
Well, let's see.
I got a lot of people on the line, so I'm gonna try to zip through a few here, and then we'll see what topics we got left. I got Hogan. Into 55.
Yeah, hey, it's Chris. Yeah, I just Skype's finally working. Last time I was just calling in from the landline. I'm the guy from British Columbia.
Oh, you're in British Columbia, here to call talking about the Panthers, huh?
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. So. You got a particular topic you want to weigh in on the Boykin thing? Can you help us figure out what it was Boykin did wrong to get cut?
Well, one thing I heard is that he mainly only practiced with Derek Anderson and didn't have – that's what I was kind of assuming, and I sort of heard someone mention something about that. Just him not having many reps with Cam.
Yeah, I mean – I could see how that would put him at a disadvantage. I just can't imagine that's why they would actually cut him, just because they control that. Be like, you really didn't give the guy a chance. They paid him more than they paid a UDFA to come in and do what he did. Right? Don't they usually give him signing bonuses and whatnot? But maybe not.
Yeah. And they kept Demir Bird and Mike Brown over him, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah, like Mike Brown, yeah. And Bird, well, here's the way I take the roster cuts these days, is the first round is the players that they don't really plan to bring back at any point. And they even said they wanted to give White and Lester, an opportunity to go out and get another job, or even Boykin. So those guys like that, where they're like, look, we know what you got. We're just not interested in any forward. Now, then guys like Bird and whatnot, these are guys they're looking to put on the practice squad. So they're the ones they keep around. And they're still going to cut some of these guys, but that's what they're telling these guys that are left is like, all right, man, you guys are fighting for a practice squad shot right here. Maybe one or two of you might make the roster. But, we got a 10, I don't know, was the practice squad up to 10 people last year? Seems like a lot. I like it, though. All right. So let's see, we got Kaiser on the phone. If I can get it on. There he is. Kaiser. You're muted, man. You probably ran to take a piss. Let's see. That's a no talk. All right. Well, still trying to. Maybe somebody else can give us a good idea of what what the hell the Jared Boykin thinking was. 8427. Checking out the numbers. Well, let's see. Let's go back to the Patriots game then. The Joe Webb magic, fourth quarter magic wore off. We ran out of it. Weren't able to pull it back. I really thought he was going to drive down at one point and get a field goal. but I don't know. I found myself exiting that game having not learned a whole lot other than Billy Brown can't catch. Catch with his hand. So the defense is ready, even with most of our front line missing. The defense seems ready. And, you know, now that I think about it, here's some other, you know, there's a couple other things I did learn from that game. Shaq Thompson, who in the hell said he's a safety? You know, sometimes these draft guys, I think one guy says something and everyone jumps on board. He looks as solid and as strong as any linebacker I've ever damn seen. How in the hell he's a tweener is beyond me, unless he's bulked up, like, tremendously in the last 3 months. Am I off base here, you guys? What do you think?
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I mean, he looks better than TD did when he come out. I mean, he just looks like that dude is going to be a playmaker and just an all-out bring-the-pain type of player.
He does not look like a rookie at all, does he?
No.
He looks like he's 32 years old already in the face. He just looks so mature. And I don't know, in that one play where it looked like he did the old butt-kissed arm bar clothesline tackle, but it was really just a one arm hit on the running back and stopped him cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's gonna have some rookie mistakes. He made a couple of little mistakes here and there, but you definitely could see.
Yeah, he did over pursue and miss a tackle early in the game. Kind of over pursued. So hell, even Luke does that every now and again.
Oh yeah.
Davis, Kuechly, and Thompson, I think by the end of the season, people are going to be looking and saying this might be the best 4-3 linebacker group that's graced the NFL in the last 20 years, probably. Again, I'm a little biased. But, yeah, that's looking like a really good pick, and I'm not really seeing what all those pundits were saying, that he was – the question his size, you know, and ability to play linebacker. It's like, where else would you put him? Look at him. Jeez.
I just think he, you know, gives us another nod to our scouts and, you know, and Gettleman himself. I mean, you know, he's pretty much hit the ball out of the park when, you know, it comes to first round draft picks.
And I'm also going to talk about Funchess. Let me see. I got CP2121 on the line. What's up, CP?
Yeah, what's up,
Kaiser? Guys? I still got your mic on too. If you happen to wake up, if you're back from getting a beer, taking a piss,
I just want Funchess to get fucking healthy. This is getting a little depressing right now, but his hamstring is his.
Exactly. I mean, you got to wait out the injury, and I can't. You know, I don't really want to entertain the concept that it's going to continue to bug him. But we just really don't know what we have. He hasn't played in a game. Saw him at camp. He looked pretty good. I'd like to think he, you know, could be what Benjamin was as a rookie. I mean, hell, you know, Benjamin exited the season, had a great season in our view, but wasn't even considered for Rookie of the Year, which was highway robbery in my view. But, you know, we all know that he got plagued with drops there at certain points last season, more in the beginning of the season than the last. But, you know, so, you know, Funchess could do the same thing, could step right into that. But We'll see if he comes out of game one and gets a touchdown like KB did.
I saw someone today that him and Charles Johnson, supposedly him and Charles Johnson on the track to play Thursday. I read that somewhere today.
Yeah, that Rivera wouldn't want him. He doesn't like players to their first live action to be the actual regular season opener. If he can get them playing time, he will. He's not going to overwork somebody. And, of course, somebody that's injured like Starr, he's going to have to. Going to have to wait. I just pray he's back. What about Short? Hear anything on KK? Is he going to play? He should get some action, too, I think. Didn't he? He's been in practice.
Yeah, he's been in practice a week, so as far as I read on Black and Blue.
Yeah.
But this defense is going to be special this year.
I think so, too. I got Goose Creek on the line, man. What's up, Goose? Talk to me,
Goose. Nothing much. Just listening.
Talk to me, Goose. Talk to me. So.
Can you not hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. You hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Devin Funchess, Goose, you buying or selling? He's going to jump in, 8 TDs and 1,000 yards.
No.
You're not buying that?
No, I'm not buying that. I'm hoping he does all right. I haven't seen any. I don't really have an informed opinion because he just hasn't shown enough yet.
Somebody's got to step up. Maybe it's going to be Kevin Norwood. Right? Is it Kevin Norwood? There's been a few Norwoods.
Yeah. There's no telling. I noticed today on your little list of your 53 and the marking them off and putting them in, you didn't even have Lucas down, Marcus Lucas.
Right.
He's sort of a borderline player, but I actually like him.
Yeah, he's not listed on the Panthers' depth chart. That's what I started with. So I was like, well, if you're not even on the depth chart.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to go practice squad again, but they carried him. He's the only player that went through the whole season last year on the practice squad.
Yeah. I definitely think they are going to carry him, and he could easily end up, Brandon Williams.
Well, Williams brings special teams.
Talking about previewing this coming game, he better play well Thursday night.
I think Williams is there because of his special teams, because it's not there as his receiving.
Well,
and I would rather them see them bring on a 23-year-old or 24-year-old, whatever he is, Marcus Lucas, instead of a 28-year-old Williams to stay on the team.
He looked good. Lucas.
Yeah. He looked good last year. Like I said, I was glad they kept him last year.
Yeah. So we got some tight end prospects. We just got one of them to pan. You just need one of them to pan out some damn time. Of course, Olsen's just looking. He could be like the number one tight end this year. Well, behind Gronk, maybe.
Well, you never know if Gronk's going to make the whole season.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, Newton and Olsen have a connection now. I mean, it just seems like when the Panthers decide they're going to complete a pass to Olsen, they just can't stop it. So, a little segue to fantasy sports. Olsen's, to me, he's the number two tight end on the board. Of course, I can't go that early with a tight end, but... what else?
You put him ahead of Jimmy Graham.
All right, maybe you can tell us, why did Jared Boykin get cut? That's what we're trying to figure out.
You talking?
I don't think he had a good training camp.
You don't think he did?
No, because I remember hearing reports about how he was just struggling. He was struggling at practice.
Hmm. Well. that would, you know, that's probably the first answer that probably is fairly plausible. I mean,
but my thing is this.
Go ahead.
Why not try to trade him to Green Bay?
True. They cut him. They know who he is. After losing Jordy. Have they brought anybody else in over there? I think they have they? Of course, he's probably going to end up in Green Bay now.
I don't know. He didn't do anything at Green Bay last year.
You what?
Well, yeah, because he was...
He didn't do anything at Green Bay last year.
No, not really. All right. Let's see, I got Mickey on the line.
How's it going?
What's up, Mickey?
Oh, no, how about yourself?
Good. Good. We're trying to figure out why Jared Boykin got cut. We got one... plausible theory so far that he just didn't do well in practice, was struggling, I guess, to learn to play,
well,
maybe. I don't know.
I was never very high on Boykin to begin with. I mean, all his stats came from Aaron freaking Rodgers. So,
that's
Cam Newton's kind of a receiver anyways. In my opinion, watching him play.
Yeah.
When you think about it, it's kind of silly to keep both him and bringing in Norwood because they're sort of the same player, except Norwood has more upside. He's cheaper and he's younger.
That's the same reason why I don't think Norwood makes the roster either.
Really? You don't think he does?
No.
Well, after giving up a seventh rounder, of course, I think it's conditional. I mean, he's got to make
the I believe it's conditional. Yeah.
I think he's got to not only make the roster, but he's got to actually get so many snaps next season. So I'm sure Seattle was like, we're about to cut this guy, and if we get anything out of it, then, you know, we'll just take the deal.
It's a win-win. If they get a seventh-round pick, that means he, I guess, did something for the Panthers, and any seventh rounder that can do anything at all is always a bonus.
Yeah, I mean, Gettleman views those as tradable.
They can always bring him in as a placeholder also. When they make the 53-man cut, if they come across somebody they want more, they just cut him and put him in that slot too.
Yeah.
Well, I like to think our team would be deep enough that it'd be too hard to make those kinds of decisions with a, you know, 53-man roster.
Yeah. But, hey, we're not scared. We're going to make some of those decisions here and on this show. all right. Well, I got through. Wait a minute. I got one more here. Looks familiar. Oh, yeah. Well, I see Mitch is out there. Welcome, Mitch. Green Bay signed Randy Moss? No, they did not. Did they?
Who signed Randy Moss?
Huh? Green Bay did not sign Randy Moss. And he's messing with me. Rex Ryan makes you defeat. Damn, Smoke Wagon, you're on a damn roll today, honey. Bury him, man. Yeah, I don't even do that. He's just being an ass now, I think. All right. I'm finally just getting back to the chat box here, guys. You guys got some funny shit in there tonight. Did I just learn Corey Brown can't catch in the last game? No, I wasn't really thrilled with his hands to begin with, but... And so dudes that don't have great hands, when it gets in their head, you know it's just over, man. It's game over. And so what kills me is you look at the depth chart right now, and number one wide receivers are Ted Ginn and Corey Brown. I don't know, you know, I'm trying not to feel Ooh. Any emotion about that.
Brenton Burston.
Well, he's the backup behind Ted Ginn, who, you know, he's
put him in there ahead again.
So he's not going to get a whole ton of snaps. They're going to rotate him in there. So obviously then Funchess. So I don't know. I'd look for them to get the ball to Brown early, try to break him out of that. And then if he, as soon as he catches one. Oh, did you guys hear the one ball he caught like late in the game? The fans all cheered.
I was at the game. It was bad. It was so funny. Like the
well,
stadium
just let you
went.
Know, we did hear that at home. So
everyone I was with is like, they felt so bad for him.
Cam did. Even Cam felt bad for him. So. Well, I did on the, you know, for, you know, but that one in the breadbasket, that was just like, now, come on, man. That's like an episode. He's going to, Deion Sanders is going to be yelling, come on, man, at him this weekend. So.
You know, I kind of do hope we go with Ted Ginn as the number one wide receiver on the roster this year, and he somehow, some way manages to find a way to get 1,000 yards so we can laugh at every Dolphins fan that we can find who's been trying to say all along that Tannehill's better than Cam.
You know, I'd put him out there, wide receiver, kick returner, just let's just try to use him all up in one season. That's what we got to do.
Because what did the Dolphins take him at? Number 9 overall?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, he's still got its speed, and he's finally, a bit of a wily veteran. He runs a good route. I mean, he's looked good so far.
He looked awful good on the Cardinals last year.
Yeah, he did. He looked good on that punt return, though, in the first quarter.
That
we'll
Joe Webb.
More of that. Huh?
I said Joe Webb with the block.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Joe Webb had a key block on that. There's a lot of good ones on that. Olsen and something. Still shaking my head at Green Bay. You're not kidding about that. You guys are not kidding. They signed Randy Moss. Can somebody please confirm? All right, I'm going to go to NFL.com. I really thought Smoke Wagon was being a smart ass.
Look, I'm looking
There's
at
no way. How old
huh?
is Randy Moss now?
48? Hell, I don't know. No, I don't know.
Is he older or younger than Brett Favre?
Younger.
Younger.
You gotta be younger. That means we can sign Brett Favre now.
He's got to be around 40, 38 to 40, somewhere in there.
You'd think it should be on the front page of NFL.com. Maybe it's not confirmed yet. Is it just rumored?
Check Twitter.
Hey, well, you can get all your sources.
I'm not seeing it, man. I think you guys are full of shit.
If it's not on Twitter, it didn't happen.
That's right. Smoke Wagon, dick. Y'all are dicks. You him and Sports Watcher, because one of them came up. Oh yeah, that's true. got me buying into that shit. Now, Smoke Wagon, I know, would have been full of shit, but damn it. Oh, yeah. All right, you got me. Let's see. Another 585 number out here. That's Mitch. Let's see. Yeah, Mitch, I know you said you weren't last time. I'm sure if you wanted to talk, so if you can drop in the chat and let me know. Let's see, 828. Well, well, GC, what's our next topic, man? We talked, did you learn anything from the Patriots game?
I just got it confirmed that the best off-season move by Gettleman this year was getting Coleman. I really like him.
Really?
I think that's helped the defensive backfield a lot.
Was it the interception that you liked, or see a lot of other good plays out of him?
No, he's been playing all over the field and at training camp. He was everywhere when he went in there, and it just confirmed
it was the first day. He made a really athletic interception.
Yeah, going up high and getting
that really opened my eyes.
But my thing is, it looked like Roman Harper is starting with him. How did Trey Boston lose his starting spot?
I'm hoping they sort of platoon in Trey Boston and sort of work him out. Or, excuse me, Mason.
Well, I wonder if they be switching him out for passing plays, like Trey Boston coming in on passing downs.
Oh. Somebody's got something weird going on in the background.
No battery or something.
Sorry, I was just getting out of my truck.
Oh. You drive a forklift? What the hell? Backing up?
Oh, shit.
It's like you're backing up, man.
More or less.
More or less, all right.
Need a ladder to get out of it.
You got a big truck, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I guess the reason I like Coleman so much is I was so worried about the safeties this year. I just didn't see where we had anything back there.
Yeah. Well, you know, at first they were afraid Colin Jones had really hurt himself. But, you know, as it turns out, he was back in practice, so... I believe he was. So I was starting to wonder if he was even making the roster.
Yeah, he practiced today.
That's what I thought. It's like they went from, it could be a serious injury to, he's back in practice.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
So I don't know what to think of that. So let me look at, let's just talk roster. So, yeah, Kurt Coleman. What's strange is they got Boston and Coleman, but they still list Colin Jones at free safety. I was thinking he came in as a big nickel. Yeah.
He came in as nickel, too.
Yeah.
And special teams. He's going to be a great backup, but he's not a starter.
Yeah. So I guess he's the fourth safety. And Dean Marlowe, they're going to put on the practice squad, I believe. And then I'm seeing him keeping four corners, Tillman and Norman with Ben Wickery and Teddy Williams. Now, a lot of times we keep five corners.
Well, you know, we sort of have some play there because between Colin Jones and Shaq Thompson, you've got some players that can move around back there too.
Is anybody else worried about B'nai Ben Wickery? He seems to have had a kind of a quiet off season. Guy had a rough game with the Patriots, I thought.
Yeah, you know, him, Carrington Bynum had a really good preseason last year, but didn't do much. You know, Ben Wicker had a great season, and you're right. He really hasn't, you know, made those plays like, you know, what opened our eyes last year. So, yeah, you know, maybe it is a bit of a sophomore slump already. I hope not.
Well, he wasn't playing at training camp. He was out for, what, a week or a week and a half? So he might not be 100% right now.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit rusty.
Yeah, it could be.
A little rusty, a little nicked up.
Yep.
On the positive side, we've solved the right defensive end dilemma. Tony Ealy, I guess a little bit by attrition, losing Frank Alexander, who I thought was going to win it, but... You know, Ely's not getting this spot by default. The kid's played well. Had a sack in each of the last two games. Looks like he's ready. So I like the rotation between him and Horton and Addison. I don't see either of those young guys making the team, but if there was going to be someone to surprise me, I could see them sticking with another pass rusher. And Arthur Miley or the Rakeem Cox. Well, and why I didn't go that direction, though, is because I think we're going to keep a fifth defensive tackle instead, probably that Kyle Love.
Yeah, start injury.
What do y'all think? Yeah.
I think Coach Rivera actually likes Miley, but I think he'll probably go to practice squad right now.
Yeah. Yep, so no real surprise. Too many surprises, I think, are going to be on defense.
Nope.
Offense,
man,
got some tough cuts there. But you brought up like a Martin Wallace making the roster. I really haven't formed an opinion on him. You know, the Panthers are probably typically keep 9 or even 10 offensive linemen sometimes, but either 8 or 9 is usually the number. I think this year it would be 9. So, I don't know. I'll tell you, having Nate Chandler as our backup left tackle, that just scares the hell out of me. Some people think Sil Tolu could finally be gone. I don't know. I could see Brian Folkerts going, though, because, you know, he hurt his foot. And I don't think he was really playing that well to begin with. And we've been using Remmers as the backup center, so we kind of like that, honestly, because that gets Darrell Williams in the game.
Yeah.
And he's been looking like the real deal. So, Williams, Remmers, Chris Scott kind of gets it by default. Not sure he's really playing that well. 4-5, and of course,
think we can pick anyone up and cut.
Yep, so 9. I see 9. I could see us definitely picking up somebody at left tackle or a right guard, you know, somebody that represents an improvement over Nate Chandler or Chris Scott. I mean, hell, we got Mike Remmers, what, halfway through the season last year, if not further.
Picked him up off the practice squad.
Yeah, dude was ready to start. So brings us now to wide receiver. And, you know, as I already mentioned, Ted Ginn and Corey Brown are the starters. Yep, that is. I'm sorry, distracted again by the damn chat box. not breaking news, Randy Moss signs with the Packers. Oh, is that going to be like getting rickrolled by Twitter when you fall for a Randy Moss has been signed or Brett Favre?
Or Gettleman shopping around Cam Newton for Marcus Mariota. Remember that, April Fools?
Yeah.
Man, someone called me about that.
Oh, yeah?
They was like, no, say it's not so. I was like, it's fake. Calm down.
Yeah, we just had a post go up at 10 o'clock about the signed Phil Taylor. And Smoke Wagon offers that Phil Taylor and Fozzie are good friends from their short time in Cleveland, I guess. Or I guess Fozzie was there, what, a season? Yeah, you know, never know if that happens or not. But I've got to think if he's healthy, hell, he'd be as good as Colin Cole. Probably just wants more money.
Yeah.
If he was healthy, why would they let him go?
Well, you know, you always, anybody that gets cut, you got to think, all right, well, there's a reason they cut them. But I think, you know, the Browns have a pretty good defensive line. I don't know,
they
anyone else out there knows?
Tackle, didn't they?
Say it again?
They drafted a defensive tackle. Who did they draft? Can't think of his name.
Oh, they got,
was it a kid?
The big boy.
Is he from Washington?
Yeah.
Yeah, kid from Washington.
Shelton. Danny Shelton. Wasn't that him?
Yes.
Yeah, that was him.
Yeah.
So that could be a reason right there.
Yeah. I mean, you just need 15, 20 snaps out of him as their fourth defensive tackle. Of course, I guess Colin Cole's, you know, he's actually playing better. He's still fat as hell. Him and Chris Scott.
I kind of give him credit for being younger than he actually is in age, though, because he was out of football for a couple of years.
True. So, you know, Phil Taylor doesn't seem like the kind of player we would go after, unfortunately.
I was kind of hoping we might, you know, give a run to Tim Jennings.
Tim Jennings or Denarius Moore. He's actually pretty good. And, you know, anybody that's been started their career in Oakland, you know, has been at a disadvantage. At least these last few seasons. Let's see. Checking my numbers again. No change.
I think it was interesting that Coney Ealy got the starting job opposite of Johnson when he held the corner against the run one time out of six. I guess that was good enough.
You're not supposed to point those things out. You know, Frank was better at that. And if he had stayed healthy, I think it would have been tough, but the good news is we rotate him anyway. That's okay, because we have an awesome set of linebackers.
I was thinking the same thing. That's the only saving grace.
He's there to get the edge on the pass rush.
If you want to start an argument, you can always talk about running backs.
Well, not just, necessarily trying to troll the crowd, but
four.
You know,
like, do you guys really see us keeping four running backs?
Well, I mean, we have in the past, but you know, when you look at Todman as possibly a kick returner, but if you're saying not four, then who gets cut? Todman? Bozzy? I don't see him cutting Cap.
I would get rid of Brock and keep the roster spot.
Because honestly, okay, how many kickoff returns are actually returned these days? They're mostly touchbacks.
Well, that's true. That's true.
But then again, we have to take it. Johnson through his injury history.
Yeah, well, and he may just stay healthy this time. You know, it's rare that any running back plays 16 games. Just take a beating.
That's why one of my friends was all about us signing Fred Jackson. When I thought about it, it kind of makes sense, but that's not a gentleman move.
Nah, it's not. I don't think it's a lack of talent at the position. It's just whether we can afford four roster spots. And I don't know. I've always thought that ever since the 2005 NFC Championship game, that the Panthers will never be without one more running back on their roster. They're always just going to have an extra running back because you might lose three in one game. I lost two in that game, but lost one in the game before that. And we had to let Brad Hoover carry the rock the rest of the game.
Gosh, that was a nightmare.
No, a nightmare is having given up two first-round draft picks and a huge-ass contract to a quarterback that they're now saying they're going to cut. RG3?
Oh, yes.
I mean, come on, man. Everyone knew that was
a
dumbass move when they made it. Never would have thought he'd flush out like the way he has, but just never thought for a second he was going to be worth what they paid to get him.
I call it now. He ends up on Philly.
I mean, yeah, somebody will pull it off.
It's going to be Chip Kelly. Yeah, but
he's going to beat out Tebow for the third quarterback spot.
I'm saying, Chip Kelly likes broken quarterbacks.
Yeah, he likes broken quarterbacks. Sam Bradford's one of my sleepers, man. In fantasy, I'm targeting. He's there in the 12th round, man. I think he's played well. He's going to be the starter, right? That high-octane Eagle offense.
I watched the preseason game. He looked pretty good.
I mean, he ain't going to last but four games, but, you know, you got to make sure you get you a good backup. You know, who's their backup? I can't remember.
Debo and...
Who's the other guy? Somebody we've heard of. I can't.
Matt Barkley.
Barkley, okay, that's right. So.
Was it Barkley? Where'd Sanchez go?
No, it's Sanchez.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Sanchez.
Barkley's there, too. It's Bradford, Sanchez, Barkley, Tebow. So I went ahead and pulled it up. So
I guess
you know,
it is broken quarterback central.
That's a list right there. That is a list. But, that's the big sexy man, Charles Barkley.
And none of them were black, because you know they're racist there in Philly.
Hard Knocks, that's the Texans. Who is that? Whoever, you guys in the chat, who is that? It's a big man. That ain't Charles Barkley. Vince Wilfork, okay. Yeah, he's a big, yeah. I'm not going to say it because he'd probably look me up and kick my ass. So Sport Watcher brings up a rule change about in-game fighting is not offsetting penalties. Scuffles, mild or otherwise, will result in ejections. We all saw how that can go against you when Luke got thrown out of that game for something he didn't even mean to do.
Hey, what's up, Jack?
What's up, man? Who's this?
It's Kaiser.
Oh. So, we were just jumping around and scattershot on these topics, as usual.
Okay. I just heard y'all talking about the rule change with the ejections. I don't like it because, you know, I saw Smitty get ejected the other day. And I don't think tussling or grabbing face mask or shit, you only get 16 games. And to lose a vital player that you need because he's responding or somebody grabbing his face mask so he grabs theirs back, I just think, you know, it's a lot on the line to kick guys all the way out of a game due to something other than punching. You know, punching, swinging helmets, doing things like that I can see. But face mask grabbing and tussling, I just don't think that should be a suspension. So we'll see how it goes. But I didn't like seeing Smitty get ejected for basically doing what he's always done the other day.
Right. I didn't see it, so not exactly sure what you're talking about, but I'd like to see it.
I thought
you make a good point.
I thought he got into a fight, literally into a fight. But he basically just did what he always does. He grabbed the guy's jersey. They were both holding each other's jersey. It wouldn't turn loose, basically. You got my face mask. I have your jersey. And they kicked him out of the game for it. You know, so I just think that's when you're talking about football, things like that are going to happen, you know. So I don't like this change, but we'll see how it affects teams going forward.
Well, I'll tell you, though, being that kind of overreactive to it probably will actually change. You know, people will be a little less likely to fight then. But you're right, it's going to take some adjustment. There's going to be some good players that get kicked out of games.
Oh, yeah.
So I agree. I'm not crazy about that part, but... You know, if they truly want to stop the fighting, which I get a little tired of it myself...
Yeah.
You know, guys trying to hurt each other when they're wearing all that padding, it just doesn't make sense. All you're going to do if you punch that guy is hurt your hand.
Right.
So, you know, I'm looking over my 53-man roster. Go ahead, Kaiser. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think you guys already discussed Boykin's game set.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're still looking for plausible reasons for why he actually got cut. One theory is he struggled in practice, that he just really didn't show, even though he had the most catches in the preseason so far. I mean, he's looked actually pretty good in the games.
I think Kelvin Benjamin going down was his demise, because one thing KB gives you is that huge radius to throw the ball. And now that he's gone, I think, and I put this on the site earlier, that it's going to go more, slide more into a two tight end set with speedy receivers on the outside to open it up to Olsen even more. So if you don't have a crazy catch radius or speed, it was either going to be Boykins or Cotchery. And I just think with the receivers being so young, they want Cotchery's experience in there. So that's just my guess, that they're going to do a lot of two tight ends with speedy receivers on the outside. And, they just didn't have the space for Boykins with having to change the game plan like they're going to have to do.
Yeah, that could be. Definitely losing KB had to affect the playbook.
Oh yeah.
I've wondered how that's going to affect Funchess, because they were talking about moving Funchess to all three wide receiver slots, and now will they still do that?
I don't think so. I think that's part of what changed. I think that's why they went and got Norwood, because they're going to put Funchess, try to let him fill KB's role, and put this new kid Norwood, because I heard them talking about he can play all three positions. So I think they're just going to have to try to adjust based off the KB situation. But I think that limits what Funchess was going to be doing. Now he's just going to be more of a KB role, and try to slide somebody else into that three-position role as a receiver. But we'll see.
Yeah, I'll buy that. Well, you know, as I look over my 53-man roster, I don't have any UDFAs making it. New ones. I mean, usually it just seems like that's not right. You know, there's usually at least one, if not more, two, that make the roster. And so I'm trying to figure out who those guys would be. You know, with the leading,
have to be,
you know, being Marlowe, one of the defensive ends, and Miley or Cox. Demir Byrd. I don't know. Maybe one of those linemen. Somebody mentioned Martin Wallace already. I'm still got that Ricky Henry and Jordan McCray. Any thoughts? Well, Brandon Ware would be actually the number one. Yeah, that would require us probably cutting one of the line, you know, current running backs, which would be tough. But I don't think the kid, you know, he didn't shine as much in this last game, but he didn't hurt himself. He just didn't get as many touches. He'll probably play the whole second half this weekend.
Yeah. I think it's between him and Todman for that last spot.
Yeah. I think the Panthers would be okay having Ginn return all the kicks. Or even letting Fozzie Whitaker do kickoffs. Because, you know, like somebody already mentioned, half of them are touchbacks anyway.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with Marlowe.
I think our defense is going to be pretty badass, though, just, you know, from what I've been seeing. Once you get the star and KK back in there, I really like the Peanut Tillman pickup and the Coleman pickup. I think those guys are going to really take the defense to the next level, to be honest with you, between Peanut and Coleman. I think it'll allow Benet to shine even more. I know he dropped a good pick, Benet, this past week, but I think he's going to have a big season, because who do you pick on? I mean, who can you pick on? You don't really want to target Josh Norman. You know what Peanut can do, even if they catch the ball near him. So you're probably going to try to go towards Benet, and I think he can take advantage of playing against third receivers.
Oh. And Teddy Williams has had a good preseason, so I do like the depth of our secondary. You know, coming into the off season, it was one of our weaker areas, and now it's looking pretty solid.
All right. So what are your thoughts so far after three preseason games of Michael Orr?
He's everything we had hoped Byron Bell would have been last year. You know, he hasn't been he's not like a Pro Bowl tackle, but, you know, he's played well enough. Maybe not dominating just yet, but he seems to be handling both the edge speed and the power rush, so,
right.
that's all we really wanted. Didn't have to be a Pro Bowler.
I have not cursed and said his name in the same sentence, so he's doing something right.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we give the Newton time to throw the ball, that he's going to do good things with it. He's going to get in a groove, and we're going to be more of a pass first but still run the ball type of team. You know, running the ball more to keep you honest, but throwing the ball for first downs. The run blocking still needs some work, so we didn't necessarily run the ball that well against the Patriots, but they do have a pretty good defense.
That's my fear.
Again,
that's
other play, I don't know who would take Nate Chandler's spot if he got cut. That's just it. Unless they really thought Silatolu could play it. And, Silatolu's not at left guard anyway. He's just backing up. Then why not? I do think Folkerts is out. But I don't know. Maybe one of these young guys could actually slide into that spot. Silatolu could get cut, or Chandler himself. It's just tough to say. The tight end situation, we usually keep four. I'm only keeping three this time. Just had to make the numbers work. Unless they cut Joe Webb after saying they weren't going to do that, I don't know where you fit Brandon Williams on their roster this year with four running backs, Tolbert, and if you're keeping Richie Brockle, which we just seem to love that guy, I guess for what he does on special teams. But nine linemen, six wide receivers, it's a unless you just wanted to go five, I guess that's where you the trade out would be, is you maybe cut Brenson Burson. So for one of these UDFAs to get in on offense, or even like a Marcus Lucas, it'd be like Burson gets cut, Chandler or Silatolu, Brockle, you know, or then maybe Todman, you know, would be the short list of vets I could see getting cut and a younger player making the roster on offense. We're speaking of offense at that point. Yeah. Defense, I really like what we got in our defense here. And it really wasn't any of these kids outside of the two defensive ends that I thought played well enough to earn a roster spot. You know, that Carrington Bindum, I really was high on him coming in, but he really hasn't done that much. Actually, Dean Marlowe has looked better than he has. You know, again, they play different positions. So, yeah, here's. Was it you, Goose Creek, that was talking about Martin Wallace earlier?
No, I thought he might have a chance, but just according to whether everybody else is healthy or not, I don't think he'll bump anybody unless somebody gets nicked up in the next game.
Yeah.
He hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been playing against first strings either. I'm wondering whether Rimmers is going to start at tackle or whether he's going to start at center for this game coming up this week.
What are you talking about? Thursday, tomorrow?
Yeah. To look at him. Because
yeah.
You already know you don't want Folkert in there at center.
Yeah, well, how bad is his injury?
I don't know. I haven't heard.
Hmm.
And I'd like to see Williams over at the tackle slot.
Yeah, I do too. So that's not a bad option for us if Khalil can't go, is to put Remmers in there and Williams at right tackle.
Or else they're going to put Scott at center, I guess. They could. And not play Remmers since he's starting right tackle, supposedly.
Good point.
Too bad we couldn't figure out a way to get Allie Marpet during the draft.
He ended up down in Tampa, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Jameis Winston, he's going to be good at some point probably, but he's going to struggle this year. He's going to struggle. And then I was also reading at the Falcons last game that even though Matt Ryan's looked great, his offensive line, he was getting all kinds of pressure last week. And it was taking a toll on him. So,
you know, somebody else at Tampa got that nobody's talking about is Kalen Clay. Little wide receiver out of Utah that's a returner.
Oh.
I really liked him. I was hoping the Panthers would get him as a return guy.
I know Winston's been under some pressure, too, that offensive line is struggling down there. Yeah, Smoke said Marpet's been taking his lumps, which they're going to.
I actually think they're going to be much better next year. They're just, like you said, going to take their lumps this year.
Yeah. I mean, what can you do?
Go get some crab legs and celebrate.
You're never going to live that down. Kind of like Cam and the damn laptop thing.
Yep.
Getting the old laptop, though, is not as bad as stealing damn crab legs.
Doesn't make nearly as many cartoons as the crab legs does.
What? The guy at the seafood counter gave me the high sign. You know, he gave me the eyebrow raise, you know. Give me the... They're mine. They don't have to pay.
Florida State motto, come to Florida State, we'll give you the crabs.
Yeah. I like that. I'm going to have to use that one. I got a couple of Florida State fans at work. Tom Brady's still arguing with the NFL about his suspension. That just cracks me up. He's such a whiner, man. Take the 4 games off. God. Don't know what to say about that guy.
He's bought into his own hype.
Yeah. No doubt.
I mean, let a defensive guy touch him and watch him whine to the officials. He's going to be that way all his life.
Yeah. Goodell just is strong, pig-headed about getting Brady to admit that he damn did it.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man. He ain't gonna admit it. Just ain't no way. Ask Barry Bonds. Admit the shit. So, let's see. I actually got a new number out here. I don't recognize. Let's see. I got an area code 828-584. First few digits. 828-584. If you want to join the call, join the discussion, now's the time. You don't have to.
Well, I have a few opinions on the Panthers.
You what now?
Quite a few, actually. I said I have quite a few opinions on the Panthers.
Do you now? What's your name?
John.
John?
I pull for them ever since they started. I try to think, and I'm a decent judge of what you're going to have. This year, I think, if you think a lot of the years when the Panthers have had good teams, seems like the following year they always end up losing players, salary cap wise, things like that. We probably had a little more stability at some of the positions than maybe what we've had. And I do believe there's going to be a pretty good improvement in the offensive line. Wide receiver, that's yet to be seen. I believe the team defensively is going to be strong. I really think this team will win at least 10 games. You just see they've got more quality depth than what they've had in the past.
That to me is a big difference.
Yes.
Yep.
Gettleman's there. People can say what they want to about him. The man's done a good job. He's not perfect. You don't hit on every player.
Right.
But I do
but he's hit on some.
Do what?
He's hit on some. I mean, he's done well with his draft picks, at least the first couple rounds. And, you know, his free agents. I mean, he's had a couple bust out, but, you know, certainly the ones that we're keeping and contributing this year are some real quality depth guys. So, you know, and we just seem to stick, you know, if you're not a high character guy, you just don't even get on, you're not even on the list.
Yeah, well, so sometimes I think it's wonderful to have high quality guys, but sometimes you've got to have somebody a little bit questionable to fill out. If that's a special talent, I think you take chances occasionally.
Yep, yeah, like Greg Hardy.
I would have kept
Hardy. Say, I'm not trying to be a joke there. I mean, we had a lot of good seasons with him, and I really think if it wasn't for the timing of everything, he'd still be a Panther today.
Probably so.
You know, that it was just the timing because of the Ray Rice thing and the sudden public outcry. I think otherwise he'd be in a Panther uniform this year.
Well, I'll make one comment on that. It wasn't a public outcry. It was the media's outcry.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
It was the media. Yeah. It was the public. Most of the fans of the Panthers should go to see him there. It has nothing to do with them. They might be a few, but for the most part, it was the media.
Yeah.
But I was told you, I have a lot of opinions.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm not condoning what he did by saying that. I'm just saying that.
Well, how do we know what he did?
Yeah, exactly. And I. And, you know, if you're saying, oh, the whole convicted thing, well, you're just not understanding the court case. And, again, we're not going to get off on Greg Hardy here too long.
I understand that. It's, most of the national media, they don't even have a clue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So. 2 nights to go. Steelers game. Are any of the starters going to play? I think, you know, some probably are, aren't they? Is Cam going to play? Is he going to get one series in, maybe?
I would say so.
Yeah, isn't that the way it usually works? One or two series, and then they're out. And even, you know, DA will be out after one or two series, and then it'll just be the Joe Webb show.
If Cam
maybe
goes
DA
out the first series and gets the first down, he's going to be out.
Yeah. And DA will finish the half, and then Joe will play the second half.
The main thing is to stay healthy.
Everyone. To stay healthy. Of course, we get to see D'Angelo. Get to see D'Angelo. He's going to rock it for two games next year. Week one and two, I think. Of course, then he'll go to the bench once Bell gets off suspension, but otherwise, I don't know what else to look forward to. Maybe see what Marcus Wheaton does. He's a sleeper, I think, in fantasy. Marcus Wheaton with Bryant out. Martavis Bryant. He's got, a four-game suspension?
It'll be interesting to see what the Steelers secondary does.
Yeah? Why is that?
With the change out they've had over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Polamalu gone, Clark gone, all those guys.
Yeah. And who was the cornerback they had? is back there.
I'm trying to pull it up out the back of my mind, and I'm not in front of the computer or anything. I can't pull it up.
Oh. Yeah, it didn't come to me either.
We're getting old. I'm already there. You're just getting there, Jackson.
So, yeah, I just, you know, from what I've seen from the rest of the NFC South, I do think the Panthers, Saints, Falcons, Bucks is the order of finish. Falcons and Bucks will not break 500. The Saints will be a little over 500. Maybe a 500, 9-7. And we'll win either with 10 or 11 wins. I don't think Seattle is going to be as tough as they've been the last 2 years. You know, they're coming in with a number one ranked team. But there's a lot of discord and problems in Kansas there with those guys. I think Jimmy Graham, I was reading some stuff about him glaring at Russell. You know, Russell Wilson is no Drew Brees when it comes to throwing the ball. And you got a temperamental guy like that that's used to getting the ball delivered to him, and then it's, now he's getting it thrown over his head and behind him and all over the place. I could see some disruption there. Cam Chancellor holding out.
You think the Cardinals can beat them? Win the division?
It just depends on their offense. Who's their quarterback?
It's not going to be
Palmer.
It's not going to be the Rams, and it's not going to be San Francisco. It's not going to be the Cardinals.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying they're not going to win the division or even go to the playoffs. I'm just saying I see them being vulnerable. You know, maybe not making it to the NFC Championship game. I don't think they're going to be, you know, that dominant team that's going to go 15-1 or some shit like that. That they're going to lose some games. They might even lose to us if we go up there and play a good game.
We'd have had a lot better chance with Benjamin. I had us beating them before Benjamin got hurt.
Yeah. Scouring, log here for any last minute. We're down to about 6 minutes, so anyone on the line to you, and I'll even open up the no talk lines. I'll just have a couple of those, but any more topics we haven't hit yet? I'm looking at the chat box.
I would like to make one comment about the blocking on the run game. If you take a little time and go through some of the plays, seems like more problems come from the tight ends and things like that on the running plays than it does from the offensive line. It seems like more they all sit there and run the plays back, and a lot of times the tight ends just aren't making the block. Sometimes it's just they're talking about not blocking the correct person, particularly last year.
I'm not sure. I know Greg Olsen has improved his blocking, but the other tight ends, Dixon and Williams, you know, have needed to up their game in that regard. So what you're saying could be very true.
Well, you sit there and you run the plays back and look, and a lot of times they're just inconsistent. One time they make a decent block, you got to do it a little more consistently, which that's basically of everything. The offensive line is, I don't think it's going to be bad at all.
No. So, and as soon as we unleash Cam and he's able to run a little read option in there, that will, you know, slow the defense down a little bit. I don't know. It's just been, it seems it's been more obvious this preseason that the Panthers are really running a vanilla scheme. I mean, we know they are, but, man, it's just been really obvious.
Well, if you look, teams will come up and put eight in the box, sometimes more than that, and we still try to run into it, which I think that's maybe he just wants to see right now if we can run the ball against teams in that situation.
Right.
I mean, you look against, what was it, Miami? I mean, I think that's just pure. He just wants to see what they can do.
Yeah. I think the Miami defense is a sleeper in fantasy this year. With Cameron Wake and Sue and, shit, who's the other guy? They got somebody else up front there, too. Shit. The guy on the other end. Anyway, it'll come to me in a minute. But they could really cause some havoc there. I like Miami's defense. So, was it Hughes? No, Hughes is the Bills. Got the Redskins Ravens scuffle players got ejected. Y'all think Smitty's gonna have a big year? Down to 2 minutes. So we'll go ahead and wind it down. I think we got around everyone. So I'm going to leave the line open. You guys don't go anywhere. We can keep talking. Just the recording's about to end. We're going to do it again next Tuesday. So thanks for everyone that's chimed in or dialed in on the call and you guys out there in the chat box that kept things light. Appreciate it. I think it's going to cut the chatters off, though. You're not going to be able to hear. You'll have to dial. Well, it might be too late to dial on a landline. But, again, appreciate it. And, again, catscratchreader.com. You can check it out anytime. So, again, I'm going to leave the line open after the recording ends. And we can keep talking. So, still has a minute here. But
do you think the Panthers are going to do a little more blitzing this year?
I don't know. You know, maybe. I'm really interested to see this whole, you know, where they're saying they want to run their base. You know, just stick to their, you know, the big thing in the NFL is no huddle in order to keep people in certain personnel groups on the field that you can then take advantage of it. So to counter that, the Panthers, you know, why they drafted Shaq Thompson supposedly is so that base 4-3 can stay on the field but still match up with various other personnel groupings, I guess, that a lot more flexible lineup. And so how that actually plays out, I'm curious to see what happens with that.
Come on, baseball. they have showed absolutely nothing in preseason.
No, they really haven't blitzed much at all. It's been really just the front four, you know, running some stunts and whatnot. But those second and third stringer boys have been getting after it. Arthur Miley and Raheem Cox, kind of excited to take a look at that. You guys keep the conversation going. I'm going to take a quick bathroom break, and I'll be right back. Actually, I think I'm going to go ahead and end it tonight, guys. We'll see you next week, and go Panthers.